Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, we're the Kings, and you already know that. We arrived, we reigned, we conquered, just like we said we would. Sweet with swagger, true to the ATL, the Peach was crowned king.
Here in Atlanta, see, it's not just about winning. It's about winning and doing it in style.
It's not just about scoring points. It's about being the human highlight family.
Because the more you give a kid, the more he wants.
The South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
There are so many champions. But only true icon rewrite history.
So with the city united behind us, we defend our throne.
Got big Steve!
And even as records fall before us,
say hello to the king of the South.
We're hungrier than ever. Others may have reigned.
That is spectacular.
But this is when kings become legends.
And the king has become a legend.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome into the Kia Studios. It's John Chuckery and Joe Patrick taking you up to Atlanta United. Actually, you just heard the hype video there with Deion Sanders, among others, a part of all of that. Taking you right into pregame coverage. Of course, we've got that coming up at 12:30 today. 1 o'clock-ish on the kickoff. Atlanta United takes on the New England Revolution as the MLS playoffs start. Jason Longshore and Mike Connie will be on the call for all of that. We'll talk to those guys a little bit later on in the show. Go to 929thegame.com if you want to catch us live or replays of anything that you're going to hear today. You can follow the station on social media. It's all at 929thegame. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of that available to you. Follow us on Twitter if you want to interact with us today, have any questions on the show. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Joe is to my left. He is at JAPatrick200, JAPatrick200, Joe. As we get ready for another playoff run in a matchup that these teams have played twice this year, and, of course, they ended the regular season playing one another just, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's something you don't see that often in this sport, to have these back-to-back games, and makes you wonder whether, you know, was either manager in the last game of the season, with not a whole lot riding on that game other than Atlanta securing the number two seed, was any manager kind of holding anything back, playing coy, kind of using it as a dress rehearsal to kind of unleash the ultimate tactical plan today? We'll wait and see.
First off, I promise I won't try to yell at you. Usually when I talk to Joe, at some point I start yelling at him about something. Johnny Venters or something at this point. So I'll try to keep my yelling to
Luke Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah, anything. Yes. So obviously one of the big storylines, Joe, is the fact that Miles Robinson is not going to be playing today after a strange injury and set of circumstances that happened. And we'll hear a couple of things. We'll hear Michael Parkhurst and Julian Gressel here in just a minute or two. I had Jillian Sakovic on last night, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked her. And I've asked this multiple times to people, okay? I understand in soccer it's different. Country and this and international and all that kind of stuff. But I keep saying, is there going to be a point where MLS, because Mark Cuban has said, I don't want my guys going overseas, you know, talking about playing basketball. So is there any way or any point at which MLS gets a little bit selfish and says, you know, we got to be careful about protecting our guys? So that, again, I'm not telling you Miles Robinson, the MVP of the league, but, you know, Yosef missed time in their first year because of an injury overseas and stuff like that.
Playing on a cow pasture.
Right. I know it's different. I get that. But just like in the NFL, you don't want to see your stars go down for any reason, and especially because they went overseas and played in some ham and egg or tournament or whatever that you know, representing country.
Yeah, unfortunately in soccer, with you have FIFA as the governing international governing body. So when they have these international breaks, actually there's nothing the clubs can really technically do from a contractual standpoint in terms of withholding their players. They are actually forced to release their players to go play with their international teams. But what the clubs can do is establish a relationship with the international teams that their players play for and say, look, in Miles Robinson's case, and Frank DeBoer talked about this, and I think Darren Eales may have as well, saying they had communication with the U.S. men's national team saying, listen, this guy is in his first season as a starter. He's played, you know, thousands of minutes this year for the first time ever at a professional level. Let's just take it easy on him during this international break. We can't control it. You know, you guys are allowed to call him in. We can't stop him from going, but please just hear us out and please just, you know, take it easy on him.
Right.
We have an important part of our schedule coming up. And if you're the U.S. men's national team, you should want Miles Robinson playing in these big games in the playoffs. That's when you learn a lot about a player and when a player really grows, especially a young player like Miles Robinson. So you hope that the club can kind of massage those relationships that they have with the U.S. Federation and with other federations, whether it's, you know, well, I guess not going to be Venezuela now that Joseph Martinez has kind of resigned from Venezuela for the time being. But you hope that you can have those relationships with the international federation so that you can have these guys managed in a better way than they were, you know, obviously what we saw with Robinson.
Let's hear from Michael Parkhurst, who joined our morning show earlier this week, talking about his teammate Miles Robinson being missed.
It's unfortunate that something like that happens. It's tough for him coming off such a great season and such an important part of the team. And then what he's done this year as a first year as a full-time starter has been so impressive. And he's an important part to the team. And if he misses on Saturday, we'll definitely miss him.
You know, I understand World Cup and Olympics. I mean, there are events that, listen, I mean, whether you're in hockey or anything like that, that, yeah, there are huge things. It just seems like soccer is one of those things that there are so many tournaments and mm-hmm. international plays and U-20s and all that kind of stuff that, you know, gets to be alphabet soup after a while with all the things that you have going on internationally.
I think there is there's oversaturation in soccer in terms of how many games these guys are playing, both from a consumer perspective of how many games someone can be expected to watch in a given year,
right,
month, whatever. But, you know, these guys are playing a lot of matches, and it all comes down to money. It all comes down to money. All these federations, the clubs, you know, they all want to make money. And so they're not going to miss opportunities. You see Brazil, they get flown out to Singapore, you know, Asia, all these places that will just pay them the most money. They're traveling around the world.
Right.
It's like the Harlem Globetrotters, so they can see these guys. It's a problem in soccer. It's not just in American soccer. It's across the board. I mean, the games in Europe are a lot more high profile. You know, that's kind of where you turn to that NBA comparison where you don't want to see these guys go. And
right,
the fans of those clubs have the same kind of gripes with this. It's just so much work and stress on the players' bodies, the travel that happens when they go on these international tournaments. So it's tough. It's something that I think the whole sport needs to kind of reassess and look at this and say, you know, how can we help our players by, you know, treating them better over the course of the season while also allowing them to play in these competitions.
Let's hear from Julian Gressel as he talks about how they're going to have to approach this thing without Miles Robinson.
I think if you see our approach that we had last year from the last game of the season or the season in general to going into the playoffs, it was always going to change a bit, you know, and I think it was always going to happen this year as well, even with Miles on the field. You know, so I think we've obviously worked on different scenarios, you know, in the last week. We've worked on different shapes in the last week, you know, so we want to be prepared as a whole team, you know, to be able to kind of compensate that loss, obviously, of Miles, but at the same time, kind of, you know, maybe here and there be not as risky as we were before, just because we know what's at stake.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but to me it feels like that this is not the week where the loss magnifies itself as much against New England, that moving forward, this maybe becomes a bigger deal. But Atlanta United is still, truthfully, so much more talented than New England that this should not be the week where this should be the storyline about what does or does not happen today.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it could. This game is going to come down to how well they replace him. And it's not just the player who comes in, which I expect to be Michael Parkhurst today to come in and replace Miles Robinson in the starting 11, but Miles Robinson affected the way the whole team played. His ability to win duels one-on-one and stop counterattacks allowed the rest of the team to push forward and go forward and try to score goals.
Right.
So you wonder how his absence is going to manifest itself within the team. Will they sit a little deeper to try to counteract that, to preserve themselves? we don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but it's going to affect every player on the field for Atlanta United. And Frank DeBoer said it starts at the front, actually, in terms of those guys in the attack actually defending from the front, and everybody in Five Stripes is going to have to apply pressure to their opponents so that they don't get in those opportunities where they're, you know, Michael Parkhurst is sprinting back towards his own goal 50 yards.
John Chuck with Joe Patrick in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 in the game as we'll be getting you ready for Atlanta United action coming up. We'll hand it over at 12:30 to pregame action. 1 o'clock kick, Atlanta United, New England Revolution. That game will be here on 92 in the game. The game's also on Fox Sports South today as well. This will be the last chance to see them locally as what these next round moves, because if the Atlanta United wins, they'll play Thursday, mm-hmm. and that moves to, is it Fox that moves to?
I think, I want to say Fox. I'm not quite sure on it, actually, but I want to say so.
Yeah, it's either ESPN or Fox, yeah. That it starts to move into the national level of all the games and stuff like that. So we'll break down this matchup for you here. Joe will be with me here till 12 o'clock today, so we'll get plenty of coverage on all that. If you have a question, you can hit us up on our Twitter, at JMCH316. He's at JAPatrick200. We'll get to some of those as well. We'll take a look at some of the matchups and things like that. Of course, Joe, at this point, 5-1 aggregate score. Without getting too much, you know, into it, you know, this still feels like a matchup that, you know, I always joke, Joe, and say, nobody's coming in here and beating this team. Nope, nobody's coming into here. Now, they go on the road and have to go play somewhere. That's maybe one thing. Just 30,000-foot view, the idea of somebody coming in here, especially on a day like today when you just get started, I just don't see how New England, and we'll talk more about the matchup in the next segment, but just coming in here and the idea of them beating Atlanta United just doesn't seem as a big feasible option for them.
Yeah, no, it's funny because Atlanta United kind of started the season a little bit slow at home. They had some disappointing draws, a loss early in the season. But since then, they really turned it around. They've made Mercedes-Benz Stadium a fortress. They've only had one loss there since April 20th. That was a game where they kind of sleptwalked through against a really bad Columbus team. But in those big games, you know, we've seen them play in cup finals against Minnesota United. They played this Campeones Cup final against Club America. They've played big in those big games at home. So I would expect that to see that kind of energy from the team today.
Get Joe's thoughts about some of the matchups in this match today coming up at 1 o'clock. John Chuck with Joe Patrick in the Kia Studios. Taking up to Atlanta United pregame at 12:30 today. Sports Radio 92 in the game. Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 the game. John Chuck, Joe Patrick hanging out with you here as we get ready for MLS playoff action. Atlanta United coming up pregame at 12:30. 1 o'clock kickoff today. Atlanta United taking on the New England Revolution here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium as MLS playoffs are getting underway. Joe, as we start to get a little bit in this matchup, of course, these two teams, we said, played twice already this year. 5-1 aggregate score. They just played a couple of weeks ago. You know, a couple of things, a couple of just 30,000-foot view observations. New England's back line not been very good over the last, I want to say it's about six matches. I think it's 12 goals in six matches that they've given up. You know, they did get 18 shots off against Atlanta United. So do you think, you mentioned it in the first segment about maybe these two teams didn't show as much. Do you think New England, I don't want to say they, because listen, they were fighting just to try to get in. I think a lot of people are surprised they even got in the playoffs as it is. But do you expect a different approach from New England today, as now we're in playoff mode, and maybe now you try to bunker down a little bit?
Yeah, I think we're going to see both teams do that, actually, to an extent. I think both teams are going to come out in these early stages and be pretty cautious, I think. I think both teams will have the same mindset in that they don't want to go down 5-1 in the first 5 minutes. And if you go back to that game that they just played on the last day of the regular season, there were huge chances for both teams in the opening moments, and I don't think either manager will want that. I mean, of course, you want your own opportunities like that, but I think we're likely to see both teams sit back and just kind of read the game, see how it goes, feel it out a little bit in the first 10 minutes. I do think, though, that when you're looking at from a New England perspective, like you said, their weakness is at the back, so they have even more of an incentive to sit back and let Atlanta come onto them, and especially with Atlanta, they know that Atlanta doesn't have Miles Robinson. The more they can kind of tempt Atlanta United forward, that creates gaps for them to exploit because they want to play very direct and get and hit Atlanta United as soon as the ball turns over, hit them vertically back up the field without a guy like Miles Robinson to be able to track down some of their wingers.
Do you like the idea of kind of like a knockout round like this where it's kind of all or nothing?
I do. I prefer it just from someone who likes to watch soccer. I think it's just more entertaining. It's more interesting to know that you're going to get a result. You're going to get a winner that goes on in the time from the time you sit down or stand in the arena to the time you leave. You know you're going to see the result of that. So I enjoy it. I think the players are kind of they are saying they like it because they're playing these games at home. They won't like it when they have to go on the road, especially from an Atlanta United perspective where they've been great at home and terrible on the road. But it does create a different dynamic in these games, and you have to account for that. You know, this game could go 120 minutes. So when you're looking at a guy like Michael Parkhurst, you probably need to make sure you have a center back on your bench that you can put in as a sub for him in case because he's not going to be able to go 120 minutes.
Right.
You will need to have an emergency situation, an emergency sub ready to go for him if the game gets extended. So there are some interesting dynamics that come into play when you have a game like this.
You mentioned about Michael Parkhurst potentially being in the starting lineup today. Here he is talking about, obviously, he's going to be retiring at the end of the season and whether or not retirement has hit him yet.
For me, it's like my career is not over. I hopefully still have four more games, can go out with, as a back-to-back champion with another trophy. So for me, there's still a lot to look forward to. So I don't think it's totally hit me yet just because still preparing, still getting ready for the next game.
Do you think New England plays, you know, obviously they have to be thinking that they're playing with house money because a lot of people don't think they should even be here or one going to be here or what have you out there. You mentioned about, you know, kind of, you know, bunkering in, but at the same time, you know, they got off a lot of shots last time they played. I wonder if their manager doesn't try to play a little bit more loosey-goosey and maybe early on test Atlanta United and see, because listen, they find a way to score an early goal. And there have been some issues, obviously, with Atlanta United early in matches this year. Find a way to score an early goal. Now your philosophy may change, but hell, you've got nothing to lose because nobody on planet Earth thinks you're coming in here today to win this thing.
For sure. I did a podcast earlier this week, and I compared – you'll like this. I compared New England's manager, Bruce Arena, to a guy like Mark D'Antonio, if you're a college football fan, where he's got this kind of cagey, you know, rough exterior, and you kind of think he's going to be a conservative guy who sits back. But, you know, Mark D'Antonio's always got a fake punt, or he's always got something up his sleeve, and Bruce Arena is the exact same way. He always seems to have – for a big match, he's got some wrinkle that no one really expects. I remember when he was the U.S. manager before he took the New England job, back when the United States was trying to qualify for the 2018 World Cup, big game against Mexico in Azteca, and he went out with a completely different formation that the United States had never played before, and it really flummoxed Mexico, and it got the United States a result there. They got a draw in Azteca, which was huge for them. So I would not be surprised to see a wrinkle. I don't know how much he can actually do with his starting 11 because the talent isn't that great.
Right.
And you kind of know exactly who the 11 best players are. But the players that he has are versatile, and he can use them in different ways. So it'll be interesting to see, just watching the positioning of the players, a guy like Carlos Hill. He's a guy they signed this year from Spain, really dynamic player, and he floats around a lot. And when I was at training this week talking to a lot of the players, they said that gave them a little bit of confusion in the last game with the way he moved, because he was at wide at some points, centrally at others. So I think that they have ways to kind of throw a wrinkle in there, but only Bruce Arena knows. You know, he's going to keep that one close to the vest. So it'll be interesting to see how Atlanta deals with that.
There's Julian Gressel talking about this New England team and how they can hurt you quickly.
You just have good players going forward and dangerous players that can change games, you know, and in an instant almost, you know, like the 1-1. You just look at that goal and you're like, man, it's a long ball, you know, maybe a misclearance, and he's in and he scores the 1-1, you know? Like, nobody really saw that, or it wasn't really going that way.
It's just one of those matches, Joe, where, you know, in that first 10 or 12 minutes, it's going to be really curious to see how both teams kind of approach it before you kind of have a chance to kind of settle in and kind of get a feel for how the game is. I think that first 10 or 12 minutes about, you know, does somebody get aggressive and get an opportunity early in this match to take a lead? Because it's like you said, you know, you get a lead in this thing, and man, the way, you know, it may not be very fun to watch the match, you know, after that, because it will be just do what you got to do to just not allow another score in that.
No, it's definitely a tactic that we've seen from a lot of teams, especially earlier in the season, in that stretch that I talked about earlier in the last segment where Atlanta was having some struggles at home. teams would come in and go all out in the first 10, 15 minutes, try to get that goal. And then once they got the goal, then they could just shut up shop. And that actually plays even more into their hands because of the way that Atlanta likes to push forward. And you kind of have to expose yourself at that point. If you're chasing a goal, you kind of need to start being a little bit more risky. And what we've seen from this Atlanta United team is that they are not good when they go down. I want to say that they've only won 2 points this season from games in which they trail. So they have not had many comeback wins. They're a team that kind of they can lose.
And I think they haven't lost when they take the lead to start a game, right?
Yeah,
I think it's like 13-0 or something like that when they take the lead.
Yeah, something like that. So the first goal is going to be huge in this game. It almost always is in especially a playoff knockout type of soccer match like this. But it's going to be very, very important for Atlanta to make sure that they don't get beat on a cheapie. You know, the goal that Gressel in the sound that we just played, what he's alluding to is just a poorly played headed ball by Franco Escobar, and it leads directly to a goal. So you have to make sure you just don't make those mistakes. It's something Tata Martino preached all before the playoffs last season was, if we don't make these individual mistakes, we'll win these games. We have the talent. You know, it's not about that. It's about making sure that we don't gift the other team opportunities. And I think that we saw Atlanta United do exactly that in that last game of the season. So they need to clean some of those things up. Otherwise, they're going to be, you know, they could be in trouble.
Joe Patrick, John Chuckery in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92. And the game as we get ready for MLS playoff action, Atlanta United, New England Revolution. Pregame will be at 12:30, 1 o'clock kickoff. The call will be right here with Jason Longshore and Mike Connie. What do you think is the biggest adjustment for this team without Miles Robinson? What, you know, you talked about Parkhurst, you think will be in the starting 11, but philosophically or schematically, what's the biggest change in the approach without a Miles Robinson?
So I don't know if it's going to play out this way, but what I would do is actually not try to possess the ball quite as much. I would try to let New England come on to you a little bit, sit a little deeper. Let them come on to you and then hit them on the break. I think that's when we always see Atlanta United at their best, is when they are actually running into space behind the opposition. The problem is that they don't get that many opportunities to do that so often because they want to possess and control the game. But I just feel like when Frank de Boer wants his team to do that, he wants them high up the field. And I just worry, without Miles Robinson's speed, that the team will be able to recover in those situations, because if you do that, it will happen. It's inevitable that a guy like Christian Pena, a very fast left winger for New England, will get in behind you when you play that high. It's just going to happen. So if you don't have a guy like Miles Robinson there, how are you protecting yourself? I think you need to protect yourself by playing just a little bit deeper. Don't worry about having the ball as much. That's exactly what we saw from Tata Martino's team in the playoffs last year. They went to a five-defender system. It was not a 3-5-2. It was a 5-3-2. And it worked great. You know, they kept clean sheets almost throughout the entire postseason. They only had one game in which they allowed a goal. That's the kind of performance you want to see from Atlanta United today.
And, you know, obviously goaltending in matches like this, I mean, especially when you're talking about knockout round and stuff like that, playing goaltending at a premium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Brad Guzan's been a terrific goalkeeper throughout his whole Atlanta United tenure, but especially this season. I did not vote for him as my MLS goalkeeper of the year, but he was probably second or third. I mean, he was right there. He's just been...
Because you're a hater?
He's just been solid. He's been good. And the team needs him to be good because they put themselves in positions where they're exposed, like we've talked about. And he's a lot of times has to make one-on-one saves.
Right. And you know, a couple of those early goals where you see his agitation level, you know, where it's a mental mistake or a mental miscue out of all of it. When we get back, we can answer some questions, but also, too, I want to get Joe's thoughts about how this team uses PT Martinez moving forward. So we'll discuss all that next. John Chuckery, Joe Patrick, taking you up to MLS playoff action, Atlanta United, New England Revolution, 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll be back in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia Studios, John Chuckery, Joe Patrick, hanging out with you. You know, 12:30 today as we lead you right into pregame action of MLS playoffs, Atlanta United, New England Revolution for Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 1 o'clock kick, Jason Longshore and Mike Connie on the call. You want to interact with us on Twitter, he is at JAPatrick200. I am at JMCH316. If you want to be a part of the show and ask anything. I want to ask you about this whole PT Martinez situation, Joe. As you were talking about the So I'll let you fill everybody in on the backstory, and then I'm gonna, and then I want to talk about what his role is for this team moving forward.
Yeah, so just to kind of, I guess, to fill everybody in, it's on all the drama that happened this week. It looked like the team went out for a players-only dinner to honor Michael Parkhurst. Of course, he just announced his retirement. This will be his last kind of, you know, riding off into the sunset in this MLS Cup playoffs. They bought him a nice watch as a gift. And Pity Martinez was unfortunately not there. And you don't like to see that. You know, you would like to see all the guys there. And there were some other guys that weren't there. Florentin Pogba was not there, but he had just flown back. He had actually gotten in that night, so there was actually no way he could have been there.
Right.
Andrew Carlton, some of the younger guys, you know, these young homegrowns that aren't really with the first team regularly, they weren't there either. Pity Martinez is one of your highest paid players, designated player on all your marketing material. You would like if he was there with his teammates.
Yeah, like it or not, I mean, fair or unfair, he's looked at as the guy who, that was our direct replacement for Miguel Almiron. Like, that's the guy that they signed to be the direct replacement. I don't care where they play, what they,
right.
the perception is. If you're the casual fan, is we lost Miguel Almiron, we went and got the number one player of South America or whatever last year.
Yeah, yeah, and the blunt honest truth is that he hasn't been as productive in terms of the assists and the goals that he's provided the team as Miguel Almiron was last year. And I think that he's also probably not the greatest tactical fit for Frank DeBoer's team right now. I think Frank DeBoer has kind of been wrestling all season long with how to use Pity Martinez, and it'll be interesting to see in a game like today where the season is on the line, how does that manifest itself? How does Pity Martinez, how is he involved with this group? Is he involved with this group? Is he going to be in the starting lineup today? I don't know. I actually would think that he's not going to be. Frank DeBoer.
He didn't start against New England.
Didn't start against New England. Left him on the bench there in favor of Ezequiel Barco.
Right.
And it's, again, it's something similar to what Tata Martino did last year, benching Ezequiel Barco. He, you know, who was a designated player for Atlanta, decided that the team overall was a stronger unit without him on the field as a starter. And I think that we're probably, you know, we'll see. The lineups are going to be coming out here in about 15, 20 minutes, but that's what I would think is going to happen today.
Does he have, I mean, and I know this sounds kind of weird what I'm about to say, does he have a role, you know, or is it, to be fair or honest, I mean, or maybe too brutally honest, is it addition by subtraction?
He definitely has a role. I mean, to have a player as talented as Pity Martinez coming off the bench for you is huge. You know, it gives you a chip that no other team has in this playoffs. Nobody else is has a player like Pity Martinez on their bench to change a game. If you're chasing a goal, you know, if you need something like that, that's a great option to have coming off the bench. And this guy has a track record.
But that's not supposed to be his role as,
right.
Hey, I got a guy who maybe can help us offensively if we're It just, when you say that, I mean, I'm not picking on you because I'm not telling you.
I'm used to
it. It's just, yeah, I haven't yelled at you yet. We got a few more minutes. But no, just when you say something like that and I hear that, I'm like, this guy's supposed to be the South American player. I mean,
right.
y'all sold me on the idea that this is the South American player of the year and stuff like that. And now I'm hearing, well, you know, if you're behind a goal and maybe he can come in and try to help. I'm like, wait a second. That ain't supposed to be what his role – That can't be what they designed his role to be.
Oh, clearly. No, I agree with you. And last year, Ezequiel Barco was the highest, you know, the most expensive transfer
right.
in MLS history.
Right.
He had all this stuff on his, you know, on his shoulders too, which I think the club likes to, you know, market that, you know, give them a little gravitas coming into the league. And it's interesting to see how these guys handle it. I will say the one thing for Pity Martinez is that he has an amazing track record going back to his time in Argentina with River Plate of scoring in really big games. He scored
right.
in what is essentially the Champions League final of South America in Madrid last year. He's just he has a knack for coming up in these big games. So it's something to look out for. It's definitely a storyline going into this postseason, both his playing time and then what can he do? How does he play? What is his mood like when he comes into games if he is used as a sub?
Is there anybody that you think today may be a surprise in the starting 11 that might be a little bit head scratching or maybe is different from what we saw a couple of weeks ago?
I think you're going to see pretty similar lineups to what we saw on decision day, to be perfectly honest, for both teams. I think that it's pretty – I just think that these managers know what they want and have it set. I think the one guy who maybe you wouldn't have expected, you know, a couple months ago to be starting in a game like this is Emerson Hyndman. I do expect him to start today, and I think that he gives Atlanta United a lot of – different dynamics. He can control the ball better in midfield, which I think is going to be of paramount importance in a game like this and in the playoffs. You don't want to be losing the ball in bad situations, which is, again, I think that's a reason why we've seen Pity Martinez do that
right
pretty regularly during in his time here, and I think Frank is going to be really hesitant because of that. So I think Emerson Hyman will give you a little different dynamic in midfield, and I would expect him to start.
What's the thing that scares you the most about New England today?
It's just how fast they can hit you. You know, we've heard about it from the players earlier in the show. You know, they can just strike you. They can strike you as quick as lightning, you know, and if they get that first goal, that's what's going – that could be the dagger for Atlanta United. We have not seen
imagine,
them play well.
Could you imagine something like that, given the weaker – you know, given the last 10 days, if you will, of what's happened in Atlanta sports? I've joked about that. Like, you know, if somehow Atlanta United – and they'd have – to me personally, they'd have to dumb their way into a loss today. Like, they'd have to beat themselves today. This feels like, honestly – I don't know if not about New England to tell you, but it feels like Atlanta United would have to lose this game today more than New England can go out there and win this game from you.
Yeah. I want to read a quote from that was reported by Felipe Cardenas, who is able to he's with The Athletic and he's bilingual. So he was able to translate this in the non-PG version that they gave us at the time. The quote from Joseph Martinez today is, if someone shows up with a flat mentality, I'll kick their
arse.
Butt.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been prepared from the time we played our first game against New England. Whoever messes with my job, I'll kick them. Nobody plays with my money or family. I'm here to win. I'm here to demonstrate who we are. No one can relax. You can relax on November 14th.
Yeah, Yosef feels like one of those guys today that he wants to – it feels like this is one of those matches where he wants to get out and get it going early. And, you know, the idea of him laying back and stuff like that, you know, talking about a kind of bunker.
Yeah.
The idea of him wanting to do that – feels like he's going to want the ball early, and let me try to go put something in, and let me try to go win this thing early for us. It just feels like one of those kind of matches today.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that it'll be really interesting to see how he, in particular, handles this dynamic that we've been talking about of Atlanta maybe playing it a little bit more conservatively, you know, because of the stakes that are in this game, because he's never been a guy who wants to do that. He wants to go out and attack all the time. And
right.
I think we saw a little bit of friction between he and Frank DeBoer at the beginning of the season because Frank wanted this team to maintain more possession, play in a little bit more of a controlled style instead of just flying up and down the field. And Joseph didn't like that. So if they do try to play a style like that today, it'll be interesting to kind of see Joseph's body language, how he's feeling during the game.
Is he going to finish second in the MVP?
Probably second or third. He admitted he's not going to win it.
Yeah,
so.
He even said that he doesn't expect to win it. Who's your vote?
I voted for Carlos Vela from LAFC, and I think that he will be a near unanimous vote. He's had one of the best seasons of all time in MLS. He set a goals record and had 15 assists. So he's
best player, best team. You know what I mean? Kind of one of those things. Kind of like Yosef
last
year.
All the boxes. Yeah.
Like Yosef last year. So, well, it'll be interesting for sure out there. So don't forget, 1 o'clock is kickoff, 12:30 pregame, Atlanta United and New England Revolution. We'll talk to Jason Longshore and Mike Connie coming up at 12:20 today. Couple quick keys. Any you know what do we need to be watching for? I think watching this match early to me is kind of the key. Like getting through that first 10 or 12 minutes, you know, could there be some flurry? Could there be some action and activity, an opportunity, a turnover, you know, before everybody kind of settles in?
Yeah, I think let's go with two players to watch. I would say one of them is going to be Ezequiel Barco. He's a fantastically talented player. He's only started 11 games in the league for Atlanta United this season. He's barely played, and I think for that reason, it undervalues overall Atlanta's ability, its attacking ability, when he's only given you the production of 11 games in the season. I think that he's going to be a very key player. He's going to be the guy that's closest to Joseph throughout the game, so he's going to be very important in terms of setting him up for those chances. And similarly, I think Julian Gressel's a guy that will be extremely key for Atlanta United. He's the lead assist man for Joseph for Atlanta United this year, and I think he'll get his chances again. He was left in a ton of space on that last game of the regular season, and so you do wonder if New England will try to, you know, they will look at that on film and say, okay, we need to lock him down a little bit tighter. But I think that it's so hard to do in the system that Atlanta United uses. It's very hard to kind of keep control of the wingbacks at all times. So he's going to get his chances. And I think that against a weak defense, you want him putting in crosses for Joseph.
It's just funny when you say about that Barco stat, because that just kind of, to me, that's where I talk about being selfish. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, part of that of why he's only gotten that many starts is when he was in, what, the U-20 tournament or whatever down there and stuff like that, and he starts missing time and things like that. Just, I get it, but it's just like, when you say a stat like that and you pay the highest transfer fee in the history of the league to have a guy like that on your roster. And, you know, it'd be one thing if it was all about injury, but it wasn't all about, you know, injury for him. It's just that's an interesting stat that, you know, what, only a third of your matches did you get him to start for you this year.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be interesting to watch he and Pity Martinez in these games for another reason, which is that, you know, Atlanta United has not been shy about kind of publicly selling themselves as a club that players can use as a bit of a bridge
to get to
Europe. Yeah. So these players will want to perform. Will they want to use this exposure
Listen, if somebody's going to hand me $27 million for you to go play somewhere else, bye, Felicia. I love you, but bye. So.
And Eleni and I will reap the rewards from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, appreciate it, man. Be good.
Thanks for
having me. You're heading out and headed down there to cover everything. Follow him on Twitter, at JAPatrick200. We'll have coverage of all of that. When we get back to the top of the hour, I had a chance to catch up with Jillian Sakovitz, who is the pre, post, and sideline reporter for Atlanta United for Fox Sports South. We'll get her thoughts and get her take on the game as we take you up to 12:30 in pregame action, Atlanta United, New England Revolution. John Chuckery, Joe Patrick in the Key Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.